From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Claire Strempel with a local and statewide news update. Many in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta region are celebrating Mary Peltola's election victory to the U.S. House. Peltola is Yupik and the first Alaska Native person in Congress. Peltola is from the Kuskokwim area, and local leaders hope her election will bring Washington's resources to rural Alaska. KYUK's Nina Kravinsky has more.
Queefluck Elder John W. Andrews saw the news of Peltola's win in his email on Wednesday night.
It gave me indescribable joy.
The 77-year-old is a member of the Organized Village of Queefluck. The tribe, along with ONC and Bethel, endorsed Peltola's candidacy. Peltola's mother is from Queefluck, and Peltola has lived both there and in Bethel. She received 93% of votes in Andrews Village. He said he texted her after hearing about the death of former U.S. Representative Don Young in March. Andrew wanted Peltola to run for the open seat.
I told her before that she can make it. That was her chance. And I was kind of just hoping it would become a reality.
Andrew has worked with Peltola on subsistence fishing committees and says he's seen her bring large, diverse groups of people together to address issues. He's happy to have someone who knows how much groceries and fuel cost in rural Alaska in Congress, and he hopes she'll continue to work on food security issues.
Coming from a small community, she has a lot of cultural values she practices by to share with all your relatives what is given to you from the wilderness.
Kevin Whitworth is the executive director of the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission, a subsistence fishing group representing the river's 33 tribes. Whitworth stepped into the role after Peltola stepped down to campaign for Congress. She labeled herself pro-fish and made protecting subsistence fishing access a major campaign plank. Whitworth hopes Peltola will maintain that focus and place limits on bycatch in the federal trawling industry, as her campaign said she would seek to do.
Inspirational, you know, somebody from a rural community who grew up in a small village now has a position in Washington, D.C., a very powerful position.
In addition to subsistence fishing, Bethel Mayor Mark Springer hopes Peltola will advocate for a list of issues that he sees improving life in rural Alaska, including expanding broadband in the region, ramping up climate research on the subarctic, strengthening the area's National Guard presence, and improving aviation safety.
I couldn't be more pleased with the outcome and more pleased with having her as our new United States representative.
In an email, Association of Village Council President CEO Vivian Corthius called Peltola's victory, quote, a giant win for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. She says that it sets, quote, a great example for our youth on what is achievable. Tom Leonard, a vice president at Chilista Corporation, hopes Peltola will advocate for tribal infrastructure funding for water treatment and broadband expansion. He hopes her being from the area means issues like that will be top of mind for Peltola when she's in Washington.
Just the knowledge of knowing that we have a representative who knows how we feel, who knows how we think.
Peltola will hold the congressional seat for 4 months and is on the November ballot to serve the next full 2-year term. In Bethel, I'm Nina Kravinsky.
Democrat Mary Peltola clinched an historic victory Wednesday against Trump-backed Republican Sarah Palin to fill Alaska's lone congressional seat. Her win sets the stage for a contentious next few months as she, Palin, and Republican Nick Begich restart their campaigns. This time, competing for a full 2-year term that begins in January. Alaska Public Media's Kavitha George spoke to two political analysts for their thoughts on Peltola's win and what it means for the November general election.
Mary Peltola flipped a historically Republican seat for U.S. House on Wednesday. She will also be the first Alaska Native person to serve in Congress, and she won with the smallest fundraising budget of the three final candidates in the race. Political consultant Jim Lotzfeld says there are a number of reasons why she won, but a big one was excitement supporters felt for a progressive candidate focused on local issues.
As a guy who lives in Alaska, the enthusiasm that people had among moderates to liberals for Mary Peltola was palpable. You know, yeah, her ethnicity, but that she's nice and she's got this great track record, and she's got these great retail political skills.
Lotsveld currently works for the Super PAC Alaskans for Lisa, supporting Lisa Murkowski's Senate re-election bid. He also calls the election an indictment of Republican Sarah Palin. He says Palin's political capital in Alaska has waned in the last decade since she resigned as governor and later began to focus on her national celebrity.
Sarah Palin has really soiled her welcome with Alaskans. And there is just a supermajority of Alaskans that are done with her.
Lotsveld points to her few campaign appearances and avoidance of the press this election cycle. Then there's the question of how Republican Nick Begich, who finished third, influenced the outcome of the race. In the ranked choice election, Begich was eliminated first. Just over half his voters ranked Palin as their second choice. Nearly a third picked Peltola second. And the remaining 21% either left their second choice empty or chose a write-in candidate. Attorney Scott Kendall, who is also currently working for Alaskans for Lisa, says given the bruising campaigns Palin and Begich ran this cycle, it makes sense that Begich voters chose not to peel off for Palin in higher numbers. He says it likely cost Palin a victory.
And I go back to the very, very negative campaign Nick Begich ran. It's very tough to, you know, spend 3 months demonizing a person and then expect your supporters en masse to support that person. I think if there's a single factor, it was Nick Begich's campaign tactics.
If the two Republican candidates hope to turn things around for November, Kendall argues that they'll need to tone down the animosity that's keeping their supporters from ranking one another second. Already, it's looking unlikely that will happen. Talking to reporters after results came out Wednesday, Palin said she was waiting to see if Begich was, quote, man enough to drop out of the race to ensure a Republican win. Begich, meanwhile, attempted to gain support in a statement late Wednesday, saying Palin could not win, quote, because her unfavorability rating is so high. Kendall says even if Begich beats Palin and comes in second in the general election, it's unlikely he'd win a ranked choice runoff against Peltola. Meanwhile, Peltola's path to a November victory is by no means assured, but Lotsveld says getting to campaign as the incumbent is a huge boost, both in name recognition and in fundraising.
Now she's a national figure. She just, you know, knocked off the number one Donald Trump surrogate in the universe, Sarah Palin. So will they capitalize on it and have, you know, instead of running a campaign that was spending, you know, a couple $100,000, will they now be sitting on $20 million?
Peltola is expected to be sworn into office later this month. The general election for the full U.S. House term is November 8th. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Kavitha George.
Juno's only hospice and home care provider says it can't sustain its services alone. Catholic Community Services has been seeking a partner to shore up the program since midsummer. CCS Executive Director Erin Walker-Tolis says that's because the cost of labor has about doubled.
The cost, because of demand, is going up and up and up. Travel staff used to be $55 an hour, and now they're quoting us at $120 or more an hour. There's just really no way to keep up with the cost of staffing the programs.
She said staffing was hard before the pandemic, but over the last few years, the situation has become dire. Now, the program needs three more nurses. It has only one full-time staff nurse, and the contracts for its two traveling nurses expire in late October. CCS has been unable to find more travel nurses. She says the cost of operating home care and hospice services has increased by $50,000 a month. But funding has not kept pace. There's no plan yet, but CCS has reached out to the city and borough of Juneau for support. At this month's assembly meeting, Deputy City Manager Robert Barr said the city would assist the program through the hospital. Walker-Tolis met with the hospital's new CEO, David Keith, this week to talk about a partnership.
Our main goal is to make sure that we remain able to provide care.
Walker-Tolis told KTOO there are no plans to shut down services, nor should there be a break in services. She said CCS would have to start triaging referrals, though. That means the hospice and home care program won't be able to accept all new patients if there's not staff to support them. CCS cares for roughly 50 home health patients and usually anywhere from 4 to 12 hospice patients at a time. Walker told us that the program gets up to 10 referrals a week. Heavy rain is likely tonight in Juneau, with a low around 54 degrees. That rain should persist through the weekend. You're listening to KTOO.